Let's talk about baptism a little. The history of baptism in the church is interesting and typically one of the more controversial teachings. Today, there is a great deal of emphasis on baptism in many of our churches. The Bible actually has a lot to say about baptism. For example, we see in Matthew, the third chapter of Matthew, the coming of John the Baptist. He was a first cousin of Jesus, and he called people to repentance and started baptizing them in the River Jordan. Now, the word baptize is from the Greek word baptizo, and it means to dip or immerse underwater. The Greek word was used, for example, in the way that cloth was dyed. Cloth would be immersed underwater with pigment, and it would be dyed. Another example of the same word would be how a blacksmith would baptizo a piece of hot, red-hot iron in water to cool it quickly and therefore make it stronger. These Jewish followers of John the Baptist that were called to repent of their sins and be baptized already knew a lot about baptism. It was the part of the Jewish culture, as ritual washings or baptisms were one of the final steps for Gentile converts to Judaism. These Jewish converts would be baptized, called a mikvah, into Moses, that would symbolically recall the water crossing by the Israelites of the Red Sea. In the early church, people that were converted into Christ were baptized, typically by being immersed underwater. We know this because we have historical evidence from the time of the apostles, including excavations of baptismals that are deep enough for an adult to be fully immersed. We also know from first century writings that permission was needed for water to be poured over the baptismal candidate only if there wasn't deep water available so that the individual could have been immersed. During the first few centuries, new Christian believers, prior to being baptized, would receive special instructions for an entire year. These new pre-baptized believers were called catechumens, and after their instructions, the church would have a huge celebration, typically right around Palm Sunday, when these newer believers were baptized, given white robes, and became full members of the church. At that time, baptism was a rite of initiation with great symbolic meaning, but was not directly tied to the forgiveness of sins. Many catechumens, for example, that were not yet baptized went to the Roman Colosseums and faced martyrdom or died by the sword, all fully confident of their salvation despite not yet being baptized. However, by the 4th century, Christians generally associated baptism with the forgiveness of sins. As a result, many people would delay their baptism to gain maximum effect and wash away many years of sins. The Emperor Constantine the Great, for example, delayed his baptism until his deathbed. Now, the leaders of the church saw a great moral danger in delaying baptism. And fortunately for them, another teaching that baptism was necessary became popular. St. Augustine, who lived from 354 to 430 AD, had written, "How many rascals are saved by being baptized on their deathbeds? And how many sincere catechumens die unbaptized and are thus lost forever?" As a result of this moral dilemma and Augustine's teachings, two new Catholic doctrines, the doctrine of necessity, that baptism is necessary, and the doctrine of forgiveness, that baptism forgives original sin, officially emerged. Since the mortality rate in the 4th and the 5th century for infants was very high, soon babies were being baptized within a few days of birth. By the end of the 5th century, baptism, as an initial step of initiation into the church, split into two sacraments: baptism for infants, and then later confirmation for adolescents and adults, replacing what was typically the single adult baptism via immersion that accomplished both. Today, in the Eastern Orthodox Church, babies are still baptized by immersion rather than being sprinkled or having water poured over their foreheads. By the 16th century, many other reformers began to look at infant baptism in light of both early church history, as well as the teachings in the Bible. And they surmised and encouraged all believers to be baptized again. These Anabaptists, as they were called, restarted the practice in the church of what we now know as believer's baptism. That is practiced today in most of our evangelical church. So if you've been baptized as a believer, you can thank the Anabaptists.